In Madrid, Iowa, football is king.
It's made the community because they've had such good football teams. It's brought the community together, that's for sure.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In Madrid, Coach Randy Hinkle has been leading the Tigers to winning seasons for 23 years. We'll talk with Coach Hinkle about the Madrid program and what football means in this town of 2,300. We'll also talk about high school football across the state of Iowa. 8-man, 11-man, Class A to Class 4A. Bud Legg of the Iowa High School Athletic Association will be here, along with Scott Gonzalez, publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. And we want to hear about high school football in your town. Win or lose, what does the team mean to the community? If you played high school football, what did you gain from the experience? If your town rallies around another sport, we'd like to hear about that too. Please join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about high school football. For many communities, particularly small towns around Iowa, high school football is a very important part of life, particularly during the fall. Later on this hour, we'll be talking with Bud Legg of the Iowa High School Athletic Association and Scott Gonzalez, publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. And we'd love for you to join the conversation as well. But first, Coach Randy Hinkle is starting his 24th season leading the Madrid Tigers. He has never had a losing season, and this year the Tigers are ranked number one in Class A in the Des Moines Register preseason poll. Coach Hinkle, what was the Madrid program like when you arrived?
Well, they had fallen upon hard times. I think I did some research back when I arrived in 87, and like 12 previous years, they were like 28-88. So they had had some lean years, but before that, they had had some successful programs. So it was just a period of time in there that they weren't very successful.
What did you do to turn the program around?
Well, instilled some discipline in the program. Two, some continuity. I was the fourth head coach the seniors had when I arrived, and I guess by staying here, there was some continuity created. We created some discipline. We enacted a pretty good weightlifting program, and we created a system that, by and large, over the years, hasn't changed much.
We sent a reporter out to your first football game of the season last Friday night, and one of the people he talked to called you a magician. What do you think about you as a coach is really unique?
Well, one, I guess, personally, it's that I don't get caught up in what is vogue in football. Right now, across the country, you know, it's sitting in shotgun, spread formations, doing zone blocking rules and different types of thing. And I guess I've stayed a little bit old school. We still rely on faking as a major emphasis in our system. And lastly, I just think we just don't buy into what everybody else thinks is what should happen in certain situations.
Madrid is a pretty small town, about 2,300 people. How big is the high school?
We're a 1A school. We might be one of the smallest geographic metropolitan school in the state. We're only 54 square miles around our town here, so most every one of our kids live in town. So we're a small A or medium-sized A school with approximately 200 total kids in high school.
Do you ever have trouble finding enough guys for the team?
Never have enough kids to play. Now, sometimes we're lacking a little bit of talent, but we usually have enough to play.
All right. So you have an 11-man team, which a lot of towns your size have 8-man team.
Yeah, we actually are over the limit as far as size. We're too big to go 8-man, and besides, I wouldn't want to do that because I think you eliminate 3 kids the opportunity to play.
How many people turn out for your games?
Well, it depends. If we have a good good game, and our local people think it's going to be a good game, we attend well. Even when we play teams that aren't so good, our local people typically show up. The other night we had around 1,200 at the game, and we were a little disappointed in the opposition's crowd. So probably anywhere from 750 to 1,500.
So, pretty much half the town.
Yep, pretty much.
What is that atmosphere like? Everybody's there. Everybody's excited.
Well, the unique thing at Madrid, we're a one-town school district. So our school pride is tied right into community pride. It's not like we're, we got two or three different towns coming together to create one school. So the pride of the city and the pride of the town are all encompassing. So very proud community, take a lot of great pride in their football program as it's become a positive in the community. And so they come out, and what is interesting to me in talking to some of the people in the community, Friday night football isn't going to a game. It's a social event that they look forward to starting at the beginning of the week. If we're on the road, where we're going to stop and eat before we get there, or tailgate or whatever it may be. So that's what's fun.
Do your fans travel with you?
Well, they don't travel with us on the bus, but when we go on the road, we'll get a large following.
That's kind of unusual in a small town, isn't it?
Well, I guess I've come to think it's pretty cool that we can go on the road and many times have more fans there than the home team. So just something that, like I said, they take a lot of pride. And, they're great fans. Our kids appreciate them. The staff appreciates them, and we let them know that they're as much a part of our success as we are, and I think we all feed off each other.
What do you think the football program means to the town of Madrid?
When I came, in the late 80s when things weren't real good, it was just something positive. It's a positive when if we're in the news, if we're having success and the media's reporting us, it's a positive report on Madrid. And everybody likes to have their town highlighted for something positive. And that's what I think it's become. It's drawn attention to the town of Madrid in a positive way.
What type of response did you get when the Des Moines Register ranked you number one in the preseason rankings?
Well, without sounding confident or cocky here, it's something that's happened to us enough that, it was no big deal. Everybody thinks you got a target on your back. Now let's go play.
They might think it was more surprising if you were number three.
Well, or not rated.
Right.
Yep.
Does that put a lot of pressure on your guys?
I think it does. I think it does only in a good way. The pressure is our kids don't want to let the community down. And our community has really responded well to that. I can remember over the course of many years where they come up, the community, after we've been beaten, the kids are feeling bad, and they're just thanking the kids for the ride that the kids took them on. So there's a little bit of pressure, but we all have to deal with pressure, and I'd rather have that pressure than the pressure of trying to win a game.
I don't know what the enrollment rules are like in Madrid, but do you have kids from outside of your school district trying to enroll in Madrid so they can play ball for you?
I don't think it's solely on football. There are open enrollment laws like there is across the state of Iowa, and kids can open enroll if they do it for sports and they do it during their high school year. They must set 90 days. So I don't think we've had kids do that. Now, if parents are relocating to the area, I don't think the success of the football team is a negative. I think they look at it as a positive community with great pride in that community, and therefore they would like to relocate in Madrid.
Where are you from originally?
I'm actually a farm boy from Western Iowa. West Harrison was the name of my high school, and I lived halfway between Mont Damon and Pisgah.
Did you play high school ball?
I played high school and college football, yes.
What did you take away from that experience as a kid?
Well, what I've explained to a lot of people, I've had the misfortune or fortune, however you want to say it, to play on two teams that didn't win a game. When I was a high school sophomore, I played on a basketball team that didn't win a game. And when I was a senior in college, I was the captain of the football team that didn't win a game. You would think, well, what did that teach you? Well, it taught me that losing isn't fun. It taught me that what it takes to be successful. But I also look back on both of those experiences and believe we weren't losers. We didn't score enough points, but we weren't losers. We never gave up trying to win. We worked as hard as we could. I didn't think there was a give up in either one of those groups. So just because you work hard, just because you put it in, isn't always a guarantee for success, but it sure enhances it.
Now, your guys aren't in that position. They win, but what do you hope they take away from this experience of playing high school football?
Well, I hope what they take away is to be successful in whatever it may be. That if you work your tail off at something, you commit to something, you dedicate yourself to something, you can be successful. I also hope they learn that to be successful, you have to work positively with others. And if our kids have learned that when they leave Madrid, I think that's going to greatly enhance their ability to be great members of society.
Now, when you're in a town as small as Madrid, it isn't all about talent because you don't have that large a pool to choose from. What do you think makes Madrid a winning team year after year?
One is pride. Two is expectations. Three is, I guess we've never got caught up in what we don't have. We always take what we have, and then we develop the heck out of it. So many people think of my opposition, that we always have greater talent. And what I think happens, we develop our talent so when it hits the field, it might look better than theirs, but our kids have done a lot of things to maximize what potential is there.
Does Madrid rally around other sports in the high school as well?
Yeah, to be honest with you, they rally around successful, enjoying programs. A few years ago, our girls softball team went to the state softball tournament in Fort Dodge. I unequivocally could say we had more high school students at the state softball tournament than any other high school team I saw. And that's all classes.
Wow. You had your first game on Friday night, which you won, but it was kind of a squeaker, wasn't it?
Well, it ended up being a little bit tighter than we would have liked, but, you know, we played a great opponent, and a win's a win.
That was Wes Marshall.
That's correct.
Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I hope you have another great season.
So do we.
Coach Randy Hinkle is entering into his 24th season leading the Madrid Tigers, and we're talking about high school football today on Talk of Iowa. We would love for you to join the conversation at 866-780-9100 or Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We are talking about high school football on Talk of Iowa today, and we'd love for you to join our conversation. What does high school football mean in your community? If you played high school football, what did the experience mean for you? Maybe it's other sports that are really important in your community. We'd like to hear that story as well. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And right now joining us is the publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. Scott, is it Gonzales? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Is it Gonzales?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm sorry. I said it incorrectly earlier today. Thank you so much for joining us today. And tell us a little bit about your newspaper. It's the Guthrie Center Times. Is it a weekly paper?
Yes, it is. We're the county seat and official county paper. And we cover not only Guthrie Center Sports, but some of the surrounding areas as well.
And in the fall, how much of your paper is devoted to high school football?
We have two full pages of sports every week, and about three-quarters of one page every week is devoted to just the Guthrie Center football.
And you mentioned that you also cover surrounding areas as well. What other school districts do you cover?
We cover West Central Valley at Stewart, Adair Casey, Panorama at Panora, and some Coon Rapids Baird.
In Guthrie Center, how important do you think football is to the town?
Well, it's certainly a focal point in the fall. It's kind of a buzz last week for the first game. You hear people talking about it at the grocery store, at the bank, on the street. So it's something that people look forward to every year.
And what do people want to know in the paper? What are they looking for?
Well, we run probably half a dozen photos, 4 to 6 photos every time. The statistics, comments from the coach. So I think it's a combination of things.
Some of the districts surrounding you have gone through the consolidation process in the past decades, I guess. Do you think that that has changed community interest in sports, that these are no longer actual community schools?
I think normally, from what I've seen, a lot of the schools, when they consolidate and combine programs, they kind of had instant success. And I think that helped kind of meld the communities together and make it less difficult, and especially success in sports, was something that I think, well, I don't know, I guess it was just something that people rallied around.
I was reading your paper, and I saw that the Guthrie Center team had risen up to being a Class 1A team for a while and is now back to the single A standing. How do you think that's impacted the team?
I don't know if they've really thought too much about it, other than the fact that, there's just some different opponents that they'll be playing this year. But they had been A, then they went up to 1A for 2 years, and now they're back down to A. So they've bounced around a little bit. And, of course, every 2 years the districts are realigned. So oftentimes there's a change in opponents. So it really doesn't affect the kids too much, I don't think.
Do you also cover schools that have 8-man teams?
Adair Casey, and they've been one of the most successful in the state over the years in the 8-man game.
How is 8-man play different?
Well, the field is only 80 yards, and it's roughly around 40 yards wide instead of 53 like a regulation field. It's a really fast game. The first time I saw it, I thought maybe I wouldn't like it, or I would notice a big difference. But after you watch it for, a little bit, it's a fun game to watch. It really is.
Was there any resistance among the schools to becoming 8-man teams?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of them were looking forward to it just because their numbers were down and it was kind of difficult for them to be competitive in the 11-player game. They might have had 19, 20 kids out, and it was hard for them to practice and be competitive in practice, too. So when they went to the 8-man game, actually, I think Coon Rapids Baird also went to 8-man, and when they did, their numbers went up. I see that some of these schools now, the 8-man schools, have roughly 30 or more players on their rosters, and they were only getting 18 to 22 or so when they were playing 11-player football.
Well, that's interesting. So now they actually could field an 11-man team.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that the numbers went up and you're thinking, well, yeah, now they probably could play 11, right?
Why do you think there would be so much more interest for the 8-man game?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't really put a handle on that.
Well, I suppose they probably were able to meet with more success.
That's true. Yeah, I'm sure that's a consideration.
If your school plays 8-man ball, let us know about it. What's it like to watch an 8-man game? Or maybe it's something that you played in high school and you'd like to let us know about that. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Now, when I was in high school, I would have to say that high school football sort of sucked up all of the air in the room, and all of the other sports were sort of considered to be lesser sports. And I'm sure that's offensive to some people to hear that, but that's how it seemed as a high school student. As you're covering sports among high schools, what other sports get a lot of attention?
Basketball, in particular. I would say track does, because I like track. I've been a track official for 35 years, so we do devote a lot of attention to that too, and we try to cover all of them. But I would say you're right. Football probably drives the train.
How about in girls' sports?
Mostly basketball. Some volleyball, but I would say mostly basketball.
All right. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can do that at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Now, in looking at turnout for the games, how significant would you say a Guthrie Center football game is on a Friday night?
Well, they played Guthrie Center and Panorama played last week, and I don't have an idea for sure on how many people were there, but I would say probably, judging from the stands and everything, I would guess around there's probably at least 800 people there. So that's a pretty good turnout on Friday night when people could be doing a lot of other things. They look forward to going to a football game.
Right. How big a town is Guthrie Center?
It's about 1,700.
Okay, so that's a pretty significant portion of the town.
Right.
And the surrounding areas. How long have you been at this?
Oh, wow. 40 years, probably.
Do you go to every game?
Nearly. I've missed a few along the way, but not very many.
Why do you keep going? Obviously, you work for the paper, but, you know, as the publisher, but there are people who write for you. So why do you go to all the games?
Well, I don't know. I guess you know, I played. I went to school here, and it's always been kind of a part of me. So that's something I've hung on to. I'm the one who writes the football stories, and I'm down on the sidelines taking pictures on Friday night. And my wife is up in the press box keeping a play-by-play for me. So it's kind of a family thing.
Well, that's good. You have a partner.
Yes.
All right. Well, please stay on the line. We're going to continue our conversation with Scott Gonzales, who's the publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. We'll also be joined shortly by Bud Legg of the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And we'd like to hear from you as well. If you played high school football, if you played other sports in high school, let us know what it meant to you to be a part of that experience. Let us know what high school football means to your community today. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, and you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about high school football and other high school sports as well. If high school football is a very important part of your community life, let us know about it. Why is it so important? What has your experience with it been? Maybe you played high school football or another sport in high school. Let us know what that experience meant to you. Maybe you think high school football takes up too much attention. Let us know about that as well. The number to call, 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with us still is Scott Gonzales, the publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. He covers football in Guthrie Center and the surrounding communities. And also Bud Legg is on the line. He's the information director with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Hello, Bud.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
How important do you think high school football is in the life of a school?
Well, I'd kind of like to broaden it out a little bit if I can. Not only football, but just in general, high school activities I think are extremely important in small town Iowa, or for that matter, small town Nebraska or Colorado or whatever, because the school becomes kind of the entertainment as well as the educational center for the community. What goes on at the school, whether it's a band concert, a school play, an athletic event, becomes that entertainment for those people, because there's been a lot of local entertainment at their level, movie theaters, bowling alleys, those types of things that have disappeared.
So you think that because there aren't a lot of options, the school sports really become the highlight?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's one of the things that Iowans are an awfully proud people. They're going to support their local schools and their local businesses as much as they possibly can. And probably the one compelling figure that I can give you is that at the current time, Iowa is 37th in the nation in population, and yet in student participation in school activities, in educational activities, we rank 18th. And with about 80 to 85% of our students in at least one school activity and 70% in multiples. And these are kids, basically, that have the best attendance records in school, fewer behavior referrals, higher GPAs than those who don't participate. And those facts are borne out in not only surveys that have been taken in the state of Iowa, but nationally.
Now, I know that it's your job to talk about all of the sports in high school, but let's talk about football for a little while. It's a sport that there is a lot of attention on it, and a lot of other people get involved with it through marching band, pep band, and cheerleaders. There are lots and lots of students who are on the field or near the field in every game. Do you feel like a high school football is still the premier sport of high schools?
Well, I think the thing that makes that more pronounced than anything else is football's a little unique. There's one event each week, generally on a Friday night at the end of the school week. There's not multiple events like you have in basketball and volleyball and baseball and softball. So it showcases the school at that one event that night. And that's what makes it important. And you're so right when you include the marching band, the cheerleaders. In small towns, you are probably swallowing up, in terms of participation, a very high percentage of the student body.
Now, there are people who are very concerned about the focus on football and even the sport of football, with a lot of kids getting hurt. Do you think that maybe some of the emphasis that we put on football creates pressure that leads some of these kids to get hurt, or for coaches and parents to put the pressure on them that results in injuries?
I think each community is going to be a little bit differently, but if you flip that coin over, about 2% of our athletes nationwide now, and I'm sure that Iowa is going to be pretty much in that parameter, have serious injuries that will cause them to miss the season. Injuries are going to be part of any sport that you take part in. My gosh, injuries can take place walking downstairs, if you will, or slipping on ice in the parking lot in the winter. But basically, 2% is kind of a small number. And it's a big number when it happens to you, or if it happens to your son or your daughter, I realize that. But I think, by and large, our coaches and our athletic trainers take awfully good care of these kids. And there is a lot of information that we send out from the Athletic Association here to help trainers, to help coaches work with these kids, whether it's high humidity days, concussions, athletic prevention of injuries, and things of that nature.
Well, you mentioned concussions, and when you go to your website, one of the first things that pops up is I could take an informational course on concussions and learn all about them. Do you think that the information that people need about concussions is really getting out there?
I think the more you share information about things like concussions, about other athletic injuries, the better everybody is equipped to handle it and prevent it or minimize it or know the protocol if somebody does get hurt. So I think it's extremely valuable information. It's information that wasn't there 10, 15 years ago, and certainly not when I was playing.
Scott Gonzales, you are down there on the sidelines for all of the Guthrie Center football games. Do you see a lot of serious injuries?
Oh, no, not really. Occasionally, I see more things like cramping and minor dings. Not anything really serious. However, once in a while, there will be somebody that injures a knee or something like that. And I really haven't seen much in the way of concussions over the years. I think the coaches are pretty aware of what they need to be looking for and are concerned about the welfare of the kids.
If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Robert is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hi there. What would you like to talk about?
I just wanted to call in and say that speaking about high school football, my family has just this school year moved out of the Marion Independent School District, and I've had the honor of being on the executive board for both the Music Booster Club and the Athletic Booster Club in Marion, and participated for the last 4 years in football Friday nights. One of the benefits of football, I think, in all the, especially the small towns, is in the economic times that school districts are facing with budget cuts and money drawbacks, is athletics is a great fundraiser for these school districts, and they use that money to support a lot of other programs that the students get to participate in that there is not other funds, other sources of funding for.
Were you, when you were involved in both the Music Booster Club and the Athletic Booster Club, did you ever feel frustrated that maybe there was a little more attention for the Athletic Booster Club, or did you feel like it was pretty even?
I thought it was a really even spread. If anything, in Marion, we had quite a bit, there was quite a focus on athletics, but there, as far as the Booster Club itself, the Music Boosters had a little bit better parent turnout.
Well, that's interesting. And we haven't even talked about that aspect, which is, of course, it's a great way for parents to get to know each other and really be involved in the school. What was it like to be on the Booster Clubs?
It was really rewarding. When you see the tens of thousands of dollars that Booster Clubs are able to pour back into schools and help make up for board budget shortfalls, it's a very rewarding program.
Is it fun, too?
Oh, it's immense fun. You're working. I spent 4 years of Friday nights at the Grill. You're out there. Everybody's coming around. Everybody wants to see what you got going on. Everybody's talking to each other. It's about a 6-hour investment on a Friday night for a high school football game, and it's a chance for families and kids. I mean, you have all the young kids running around, hanging out together, spending time together, building their friendships. The older kids are there, the school camaraderie. There are different theme nights. There's whiteout night. There's blackout night. These kids are coming. They're getting involved. The parents are there. The parents are all being involved. You know, you get to know where your kids are, who your kids are around, what's going on. I would say it's more, I know from my experience in Marion and the few games I was able to travel, away games I was traveled to, it's very family friendly.
All right, Robert, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And Bud, do you find that you hear from a lot of parents who really appreciate the fact that they're able to be involved in the Booster Clubs and have that experience?
been my experience, having worked in the schools for 30-some years prior to the coming to the Athletic Association, that there's a lot of parents out there like Robert that are looking for ways to help the school and help kids, not just their own, but all kids and all programs. And I really commend him for calling in, because these booster clubs have such a profound effect on making it possible to expand opportunities for high school kids to participate.
And we got an email from Deb who kind of echoes that. She says, the fact that it takes so much of the student body and members of the community to put on a football game, including but not limited to players, parents, coaches, statisticians, managers, cheerleaders, chain gangs, the marching band, and yes, the local paper, makes it such a popular activity. It brings so many people together for a positive end. That's what separates it from other high school sports. Thank you for that comment, Deb. Roger's on the line from Northwood at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hello, Roger.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, I kind of wanted to pick Bud's brain just a little bit. In this time, you know, the state cut back funding to schools, and schools are always looking for ways to save money and things like that. Is there prohibitions against competition across state lines? And also, is there thought toward realignment of the way conferences and things are set up to allow for, 4A's to play 3A's and 3A's to play 2A's and things like that without penalty and, wins and losses, things like that?
It's a good question, Roger. The guidelines on out-of-state travel, and you're in an area where it's probably easier to slip across the state line and play some Minnesota schools than it is to maybe travel 50 miles south and play an Iowa school. As long on out-of-state competition, those are sanctioned by our association, and generally it's just paperwork that the school athletic director has to fill out. If it is in football, as long as it doesn't cost another school to lose a district game or a crossover game, more than likely it'll be approved, and it's been approved a couple of times this year. I think Akron-Westfield moving across and picking up a South Dakota school made it possible, because Northwood-Kensett was able to pick up a school in their area, and that saved both of them over a two-year period, a heck of a long bus ride. So, yes, there are opportunities for people to schools to schedule out-of-state opponents. It's something that probably has happened less in the last 10 or 15 years than what it used to be, where conferences cut across state lines. As far as scheduling opponents outside of your class, that's basically within the season. That is the prerogative of the school. They can fill their schedules in the manner that they best see fit. If Northwood-Kensett would like to play Mason City and Mason City would like to play Northwood-Kensett, there isn't anything that would prevent it. And going back to funding and costs, I think it'd be well to keep in mind that generally in the state of Iowa, that interscholastic athletics is generally less than 2% of the total school budget, and oftentimes less than 1%.
Scott Gonzales, do you see any kind of an interstate play? I know you're over there where it wouldn't be too far to drive to get to Nebraska or South Dakota. Do you see any interstate play among your schools?
No. We're just far enough away that hasn't impacted us at all or any of the teams in this area. We will go clear to the Missouri River and down almost to the Missouri border, but not cross any lines.
All right.
I did want to pick up a little bit on what Bud and Robert have said about community sport and booster clubs. I think that's the one big thing that I've noticed over the years is a lot of schools do have active booster clubs, and that's been the case here. And it has funded so many things, like the press box that we have here at Guthrie Center now has two suites in it, and can be rented for football games and track meets. And they were decorated by the FCCLA and the art department. And so whenever those suites are rented, then the revenue goes back to those two departments in the school. And also the Booster Club has practically a restaurant concession stand. There's about anything you want down there, and they've made a lot of money over the years, and they've channeled that all back into school activities, various school activities, every one of them that I can think of anyway. Any activity I can think of, they've benefited from the Booster Club. So that's been a real positive improvement over the years.
Well, that's great. And obviously, having high school football be such a high-profile sport, it's a great way to get money into the schools for other things.
Right.
Jess sent us a tweet. She said she grew up in a girls' basketball town, Vinton, Shelbsburg. She says it's one of the only schools to win both 5- and 6-player championships with the same coach. And, you know, Coach Hinkle mentioned earlier that he thinks that in Madrid and in other small towns that the schools and the towns really rally around the sports where they're meeting with success. And Bud, do you see that it doesn't really matter what sport it is? If the team is good and doing some exciting things, then people are paying attention?
Absolutely. I think, winning has something that pumps everything else up. But, once again, maybe just that one upset over one of those longtime rivals will be real fulfilling. I think people like to follow winners, and I think the pride that communities have and the interest they take in their athletes and their coaches kind of picks that up a little bit. And certainly with Scott talking about the evidence of the Booster Club creating something like a press box at Guthrie Center and improving facilities. And I know Ames was able to go on a pretty much of a fundraiser to get artificial turf put in a few last year, and that came pretty much from private donations and what have you. So I think there's a lot of compelling things in high schools that bring the community together and creates an era of good feeling, if you will.
John is on the line from Indianola, and I don't think he quite has the same feeling. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm very, very fortunate. I have 4 sons and 4 grandsons, and they're all raised now, and thank goodness none of them played football. I'm appalled when I see that last year 55,000 young people had brain damage of some form or another, all the way from something less serious like a very minor concussion to very serious. And I think that, well, to me, football is just a very, very violent sport. And as a segue into the last comment, if sports is what's bringing people together, I'd like for us maybe to compare, let's say, soccer with football to the injuries, or compare football to any other sport with the injuries. And I think you'll find that football outranks all the sports together by twice the injuries. And I'm just real concerned that we put such an emphasis in this country on the most macho sport that I can think of, and that's football. I would hope to think that maybe we begin to look at other sports that have less injuries, and I'm only talking about the head injuries when I said 55,000. Consider them. Talk to some of the orthopedic doctors in your community and see how many people are having various joint replacements due to football.
Well, John, I think that's an excellent point. Let's give Bud a chance to respond to that. Bud?
John, I respect your opinion, and the one thing that I would tell you is that what I said earlier, the percentage of kids that have serious injuries today is less than what it was 10, 15 years ago. We have better medical care. We have better athletic training. We have better coaching. We have better athletic prevention tools. I don't want to get into any big argument, but if you want to go on a percentage basis and signal out football, there are actually more head injuries that occur in soccer nationally than in football. That was a kind of a stat that I saw and I read about, and I think a head injury in any sport, I don't care what the sport is extremely serious and needs to be addressed. And that's what not only the National Federation is doing this year with the course that's online at our association, as well as the information we have, but it's something that Iowa's addressed for a long number of years.
All right. Well, thank you, John, so much for your call and bringing up a really important subject as well. We have about a minute left, but Bud, do you attend your local football games?
I see a football game every week except for the final week of the season, and that's when we're in here collecting scores and determining playoff qualifiers and what have you. So I see, and sometimes I try to catch two football games a week. If there's a Thursday night one, or maybe a half on one on Friday and another half on Friday if they're close together. And the things that we've talked about, the things that Scott has said and Robert and your emails, there's good support for high school sports and there's good support for high school football.
All right. Well, Bud, thank you so much for your time today. Bud Legg is the Information Director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And Scott Gonzales, thank you for your time today.
Yes, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Scott Gonzales is the publisher of the Guthrie Center Times. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli and Roland Maldonado. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at all times at iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, the books of Laura Ingalls Wilder, Why They Endure. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.